everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode that is
Life in the Air.
Just kidding, it's pre-recorded. All right, now I got a letter here from my former Marine. I guess they're always Marines, but apparently he was in the Marine Corps from 2005 to 2011. So he did a 6-year enlistment, which, I'm going to be honest, it's a long time to be in the Marine Corps.
I was in a hole once for 3,000 years. This should be a breeze.
Now, I served alongside a decent size units of Marines, and I saw exactly just how shitty they treat their people. So I have a hard time. I would have a hard time doing 6 years straight in the Marine Corps. I mean, I did. I went in the Army at 17, and I got off active duty for the first time at 22. So I did about 5 years and some change. I don't know. I thought the Army treated me pretty good in the beginning. Yeah, I jumped into Panama. We did some other operations while I was there. But I'm just trying to say the Army treats their people better, straight up. So my heart goes out to this guy.
You want an offer you can't refuse?
Redonkulous Swag is back in full swing on Fourth Wall. With more designs than ever before and new merch going on sale every month, there's never been a better time to show your love for the regiment. After all, variety is the spice of life, and it's good to have a wide selection.
Sometimes it's a spread brown eye kind of night, sometimes it's girl on girl time.
Click on the link tree in the description or scan the QR code on the screen and you can pop in.
Ha! Gay!
To see our fun designs on everything from shirts to mugs to stickers to pint glasses, patches, laptop sleeves, hats, and more. Because everyone needs new clothes for the gay cruise, right? Just make sure you bring a straight friend to cover your six.
My name is Sergeant Todd, USMC. I enlisted right out of high school. All right, so in 2005, he was 18-ish. And I wound up as an 0311, that is Marine Corps Infantry. All right. Now, during a wartime, they do fill 0311 slots up quickly, and they burn through their people, mainly because they treat them like shit, and retention rates in the Marine Corps are terrible. Okay. Let's see. I filled all of the billets in my unit.
My unit? In my pants?
Rifleman. 240 gunner, ammo bearer, saw gunner, and a 203 gunner, also a designated marksman. Okay, I wound up going to Afghanistan twice and saw more than my share of action.
Well, good for you, son.
That's not good. So, yeah. Now, he was in the Marine Corps for 6 years. First year, you do your training, and you're going to probably wind up on a float. And then you're going to get deployed. I'm shocked he didn't deploy more than just twice. He might have. He might have went on a float or something else. He didn't mention here in this letter. See, on my second time in Afghanistan, I worked out of a small patrol base located on top of a mountain that used to have a trail running through it that the Mujahideen used when they fought the USSR. Okay, I'm just going to be honest, there's probably a whole lot of dead sons of bitches on that trail and in the valleys below because that was their MO. They would get up in these mountaintops, run the ridge line, and literally just waylay the Russians in the valleys below. Okay, the entire time we were there, I and my fellow Marines saw and heard some super creepy shit.
Something? Is that something you see over there?
We saw orbs of light almost every single night. Now, he didn't specify were they UFOs or are they like orbs of light at ground level. I'm assuming they're at ground level. Let's see. Also, we would see shadows moving along the trail as well. I quit counting how many times we would open fire on nothing.
Okay, all right.
ticks.
Once I was right next to the 240 and saw the silhouettes of several men moving towards us. The gunner burned through a belt, which usually a 200-round belt. I got it. And I fired up a parachute flare immediately after, and there was nothing. Let's see. I am almost 40, and I always think about that tour. That was also when I decided to not stay in the Marine Corps. I get it. All right. Can you tell a few of your haunted U.S. Army stories? It makes me feel better knowing we were not the only grunts who saw supernatural shit while out in sector. I myself never went to Afghanistan, and I'm glad. I remember when I was a young child when Russia decided to invade Afghanistan. And I remember I'm sitting in front of my Atari 400 computer.
B-17 Bomber.
B-17 Bomber.
And I also had a separate TV on that had the news on. The news came on that the USSR was invading Afghanistan, and then I had like this incredibly vivid dream that if I went there in the future, I would die there. So I was not a fan of going to Afghanistan. Now, I was asked by several battalion commanders to volunteer to go to Afghanistan, and I told them no, I would not.
Come on! Come on!
If I came down on orders to go, then I would go, but I am not volunteering myself to go there.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
You can call me whatever you want. I got it. Not a big deal. But I am glad I did not go to Afghanistan. Now, I did go to Iraq in 04, so you were probably just coming into the Marine Corps while I was healing up from getting wounded in 04 in Iraq. Okay, so you want some U.S. Army stories, haunted Army stories. All right, so I spent my time in Iraq mainly out of Abu Ghraib prison, which was in the Sunni Triangle, and that was like the big top-tier prison that Saddam Hussein used while he was in power. Now, I've seen all kinds of numbers. You know, I've seen, you know, somewhere between 1.5 to 3.5 million people kept in this prison, and then ungodly amounts of people were never heard or seen again who went in there. Now, just outside of the building we were living in, inside the walls of that prison, there was a mass grave. In fact, it is estimated there was somewhere between 3 and 5 mass graves, meaning they would just dig these huge pits, fill it full of bodies, throw a bunch of dirt on top of it. A year or 2 years later, they dig another hole, throw more bodies, and they literally just kept repeating this the whole cycle.
Let's pretend that's not true.
Yeah.
So that place was absolutely crazy haunted. Now, you were saying here in your letter that you would see shadows walking on that trail. Okay. And I believe you.
Well, there it is.
So you're not getting any guff from me in regards to that. Now, the shadow that I saw in Abu Ghraib prison, I don't remember what night of the week it was.
The shadow knows.
But it was somewhere between 10:20 and 11 o'clock. And I had just got back from a battalion meeting at the battalion area across post. I don't know. I had to go to these things like every single night. Usually it'd start off with me showing up at 1800 hours to get yelled at by the sergeant major. And then, you know, the battalion meeting would kick off 1900, 2000 hours and go until complete. My company commander was, you know, talking to the battalion commander, and I was coming back to our company area. We lived in an actual prison building.
Called Tulsa Town. That's the slang word, Tulsa Town. It means...
And it was where they kept the political prisoners. And the building was like a giant shoebox. You know, it was 3 stories tall. And on the base floor, the entire length of the building, when you walked into the door, double doors that were at the end of the building, there was a fluorescent light that went the entire length of the building. And the ceiling was maybe 8 feet tall, tops. And I come around the corner, and it wasn't more than 50 feet. Somewhere in that plus or minus 10 feet, you know, ish. But there was a jet black man, shadow, and you couldn't see through it. It wasn't like an actual shadow. It was jet black, arms and legs, and it literally walked right underneath the fluorescent light into a little alcove off to the right. Well, I had my M4 on me and all my shit locked and loaded. I cleared that corner, and this still fucks with me to this day. I came around that corner maybe 8 seconds, 10 seconds tops after I saw that individual walk into this alcove. I come around the corner, I clear it. There's three doors there. Every single one is padlocked from the outside. So, yeah, that caused a whole bunch of creepy negative feelings. And I talked to a couple of my soldiers about it, and I was not the only one to see, you know, shadows and what have you moving around. Though I do think the one that I saw was the most detailed, because a lot of the other guys, they would see stuff and it would be at the corner of their eye, or they'd see something pop around a corner of a building, a wall, and they'd turn it and wouldn't be there. I was literally looking right down the hallway, and it literally walked right across my field of view from left to right underneath a fluorescent light. So there's no way, you know, that really just creeped me out right there. In regards to, you know, being in Afghanistan, listen, they call Afghanistan the graveyard to empires for a reason. Whole armies have screwed around in there and just been absolutely waylaid. That place is probably crazy fucking haunted. Just gonna be out. All right, now, another shadow story. Again, this was sometime after 10 o'clock. I don't remember what I was doing that called me out of the building. But while I was coming back, there was four or five guys standing outside the inner wall, because the way Abu Ghraib was, there was a huge outer wall, and then there was four other prison complexes, and then there were some administrative buildings inside there, and all of them had their own little wall around. And I hear these guys like, "There it is! I see it again!" Oh, and I walk up there, and I'm like, "What the hell's going on?" Well, that's what we're trying to figure out there, sir. Okay, and apparently when you looked out across this field where the mass graves were, you would see shadows like pop up, move, and then go back down, and would do this. I mean, it didn't happen like on cue, but if you stay there and watch it long enough, at some point it would like, and it only last maybe 1.5 seconds, but we all saw it, all of us. So again, haunted as fuck. Another one. Okay, we were again, this is sometime after 10 o'clock. We were expecting an attack. They were firing up star clusters and parachute flares near, I think it was tower 4 and tower 1. Apparently there was some type of movement outside the wall. Now, for the civilians out there, a parachute flare,
you know, the Nazis had pieces of flare they made the Jews wear.
What?
You fire it, it goes about 150 meters-ish into the air, and will kick off, and it has a parachute, so it'll hang up there. It has hang time. And it's the equivalent of, like, the noonday sun. I'm in my vehicle, I got my driver, I got the radio, I got a whole bunch of ammo in the back of this Humvee, because I'm just waiting for shit to kick off, because I'm gonna literally be there, you know, in no time flat with additional ammo, just in case it fucking kicks off. It was me, I had the driver with me, and there was two other guys outside the Humvee, and we're just, you know, just jaw-jacking, talking a bunch of mad trash. And one of these star clusters goes off. And a star cluster only, you know, it goes up and it turns into a flare. It's real bright for about 5 seconds, and it dies pretty quick. Now, I just happen to be looking over the front of the Humvee, and I turn to the side. The star cluster goes off. I see the shadow of the vehicle, my shadow, the two shadows of the guys who were standing outside the vehicle. And on the building, right to my left, there was an additional two shadows. And I was looking almost directly at them, and the star cluster went off, and I'm like, whoa. There's more shadows than there are people. That one creeped me out really bad. That entire place was so fucking haunted. I literally walked around all day, and it didn't matter how hot it got. I had the chills because I felt like somebody was always watching me. That's how jacked up that whole fucking thing was. I've got, you know, there was another one. I stayed with 1st Platoon. You know, we were at Abu Ghraib prison. They're on, I think, the second floor. And this happened 4 or 5 times. But the first time it happened, it's always the worst. And we had been there maybe 4 weeks. We were brand new. Somewhere, at sometime after 1 in the morning, somebody turns on the lights and is yelling, "There's a kid in here." So, you know, in the middle of the night, if you had to use the pisser, you walk out the door, you turn right, you go down some stairs into a little courtyard, and there's like 5 or 6 porta shitters, and people would use those. Well, this guy was about halfway down the stairs, and he noticed like an 8-year-old, 10-year-old child literally walk up the stairs right past him, felt it brush against his arm and everything. And he turned, and he was like, "Hey, hey," and he watched the kid go up to the top of the stairs, turn left, and then go into the bay. And he immediately ran up there, turned on the light, woke everyone up. And this happened like 4 or 5 other times, and it was seen by multiple people. So, yeah, I think that place was stupid fucking haunted, man. And there's some things going on out there that you just can't explain. You know, I grew up in a haunted house. I'm not going to go into those stories. You know, I was on Fort Benning. I heard some crazy shit. Ranger school, you know, saw some crazy shit. But at the time in Ranger school, you're sleep deprived and you're not eating enough. So you could explain it away as, you know, some type of hallucination or something. But not Abu Ghraib prison. Not Iraq. Anyway, listen, Marine Sergeant Todd, of course, I'm just going to use your title. Thank you for sending in the letter. And you are not the only grunt out there who saw some supernatural shit in a war zone. Everyone comes back with crazy stories like that. So my advice to you, write those stories down. And who knows, maybe one day down the road, you can mail them in to me, or at least keep them on hand if you have any kids, and you could tell them the creepy stories yourself. All right, that's me, gentlemen, and I will talk to you later.